This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Okay. Yvette, are you back? We're back.
Can you hear us? We're back.
I can hear you. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Well, going back to the bond issue that I envisioned to ask Ben to work with the city finance staff or whoever is designated to exactly structure the payments into out and out of these respective funds, so number one, the bonds can be paid, and number two, available monies to the cities can be used for public purposes. And so Ben hasn't quite finished his draft of the bond, and so as soon as that's available, I'll pass that out. And
I believe I received something in the mail last night late, so forwarded that to legal counsel for review. So.
And then lastly, in section 163 or 55, Florida statute, there is a long list of potential help from the CFO for distressed cities. I contacted the CFO's staff, and the person that is going to look into that is out until tomorrow, so she will call back, and so I will follow up on that and advise the board when I find out what may or may not be, what may be available in terms of additional support from the CFO's office.
What's the reference in statute?
163.055.
And the point of contact that you're working with is Christina Smith, I assume?
Yes.
All right. And we'll expect a report on that one at our next meeting.
And that's what I got.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Any questions, any comments? I have one question relative to the documents entitled, or the two documents entitled Cash Flow Analysis. In order for clarity on terminology, the cash flow analysis prepared by the city is a separate document that we've been talking about already today. How can we distinguish what you mean by the two cash flow analysis compared to the ones provided by the city? Is there a way we can distinguish between those two separate analyses?
These are the same analyses. I personally found the city's analysis from a macro perspective too detailed, which is what we asked for. And so what I did is I asked my staff to look at the city's detailed analysis and add the add all the invoices, for instance, for water, sewer, up into one line. So what our analysis is simply, it is not a separate analysis. It's totally based on information provided from the city, and just is there for an overview, for a shared overview. For instance, you know, when you look at the government, which is the general revenue number, so we wanted to look at, what are the revenues forecasted, the actual revenues in ad valorem. For instance, you're talking about 212,000 in March, 450 in April, 240, and then 617 in June. And then the city assumes 50,000 for the rest, for the remaining 3 months. We found that to be a reasonable number, very small, shouldn't have much come in, and so forth and so forth. So we went line by line to look at the reasonableness of the city's estimates.
As it relates to the expenditures on these items, the expenditures are also based upon the information provided by the city. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So the expenditures here are merely a reflection of what's in the city's cash flow projection, and to the extent that we've already acknowledged a limitation of that document not reflecting all checks cut to date, that would be needed. That fact would need to be factored into your analysis as well. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. And again, we try to look at ending balances, and you see that the city, on this second to last line there, you see that the city is running relatively large deficits every month, which is what, you know, prompted this whole problem. Now, it should be pointed out that cities generally late in their fiscal year have negative cash flows because of the biggest, especially if their biggest revenue flow is ad valorem, because ad valorem comes in in November and early in the spring. But still, there is a problem here, obviously.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Rollison, you are up to take off.
I'm still conscious. I'm here.
Believe it or not, I am
right.
Too.
No, right. It's a long day for everybody. All right, I want to hit on just a couple of issues. One is that we want to entertain a motion for the board to approve the invoices that we methodically went through earlier. We've been multitasking while this other meeting, while our board meeting's been going on, and there's a couple of them that we have pulled. We pulled two of the leased vehicle ones because it appears they're rolled into one of the bigger ones, and there's got to be some little more looking at those two. So we pulled two of those out that we had previously approved, and then we were able to get the backup documentation from the off-duty police, which rings out with the money that has been provided by the vendors from the outside. So that's an additional $21,600, and we pulled out from that list that you have Bancorp $7,163.44. We pulled that one out, and we pulled out the one right below it for $15,955.12, and we'd already had the other ones that we had declined, and then we added in the $21,600 for the off-duty police, and we have the backup for that. So what I'm looking for is a motion to approve those invoices. And what we're doing here at this end is I signed off on all the invoices that the committee approved as the chair of the contract review committee, and then the deputy chair, Patterson, will sign off for the board once action is taken. So then there will be a set of invoices that have an approved stamp on them that are signed by both myself and whoever is the chair or deputy chair. And then those invoices will be scanned in and sent to everybody so that we now have a set, since we've been here, of those invoices that we have approved, that there's no any other invoice shows up somewhere doesn't have our signatures off on it, then we're going to know it's not one that we reviewed. So we're doing that process here at this end. The a maximum amount, what I'm looking for, is not to exceed $910,000. The actual number is $909,805.89. So if we can entertain a motion to approve those invoices previously approved by the Contract Review Committee, in an amount not to exceed $910,000, I enter that as a motion to go forward.
Second.
We have a second.
By Bernita Nelson.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. The other issue that I have, Chair, did you have something you wanted to say? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, in our discussions that we had on Monday, and we didn't get to today, is the elephant in the room is the two collective bargaining agreements. And without getting control over those collective bargaining agreements, it's going to be very difficult to start to control the cash out the door, because 80% of this cash out the door, once we get through with the goods and services and commodities, are going to be the personnel costs. And so what I am recommending that we consider is vacating both of these collective bargaining agreements, the PBA agreement and the AFSCME agreement. They're both out of date. The AFSCME agreement ran out in 2008, and the PBA agreement ran out in 2014. They have not sat down to the table to negotiate on either one of those since that time. But by vacating those contracts, if that's the correct way, and I would encourage that the attorney take a look at before we don't do something inappropriate, but without vacating those, management does not have the ability to go in and do what they have to do as far as hours of work, cutting salaries, that type of thing, if that appears to be the route that we're going to have to go. And I certainly think some of that is on the table. In fact, it's all on the table. So I don't know how much discussion you want to get into or think about in the near future, or how you want to handle it from this point forward, but I think both of those contracts need to be vacated, and I offer that up for discussion.
Okay. Have those contract documents been distributed to the full board?
They came in my Dropbox. It's in the Dropbox.
Yes, ma'am. The documents have been provided in the Dropbox. I'm not sure. I can't tell by the Dropbox who's accessed it, but both the documents, the PBA and the AFSCME, are in the Dropbox.
Okay. I would like to seek an opportunity for Patty Nelson and Jack Heaton to take a look at the documents that have been provided and determine what the status is of those agreements. Mr. Rollison, when you talk about vacating those agreements, you mean what exactly do you mean?
I'm talking about they're null and void at this point. We're talking about that they are canceled.
So if the agreements are canceled, why does that limit management's ability to take any action contrary to the agreements if the agreements aren't enforced?
Well, the agreements have a savings clause and a perpetual, all of them do, that when they run out, they continue in full force and effect until you negotiate a new one. So they're in effect, but they have expired. They're expired contracts, but there's a clause in the contracts that allow all the provisions to be in full force and effect until you negotiate the new one. So they're in effect, but they're expired contracts. I'm just saying that
Gotcha. There
hasn't been a lot of attention to getting back down to the table and renegotiating on either groups of employees.
Gotcha.
And when you look at the police contract, as I was talking with the chief earlier today, there's a minimum manning, a staffing clause in there, so how many officers have to be on a shift, how many supervisors, et cetera, et cetera. So the chief, if he wanted to unilaterally make some changes and shift people from one place to another or do something with patrol or do something with detectives, his hands are tied because he's got a contract that says he's got to do X, Y, Z. So it's not just salaries, but it's benefits, dealing with whether the expenses with uniforms or whether you have physical activity you have to pay for or whatever, shoes and uniforms and all those things are in there that management has negotiated. And right now what you're saying is giving the power to the management to make those decisions that are necessary to keep the city afloat.
Okay. While this is a contract issue, would you benefit from the perspective of Mr. Patterson's expertise? And Mr. Patterson?
Sure. I think in dealing with the details, it would be good for Mr. Patterson to deal with their police chief and talk about the actual machinations they would go through, whether they would have salary cuts or they would have reduction in forces or layoffs or they would reorganize the detective bureau or reorganize the accident squad that they may have or the canine unit, that type of thing. I think would be certainly his expertise would be great to lend to the Chief Dobson. The issue is, without the contracts being vacated, it's a paper exercise, because if they can't make the decisions, and they're unilateral decisions, the union would be out of it, and management would be acting as if they were employees that were not covered by a union contract. It's a some people look at it as a draconian move, but I can tell you from past experience, if you don't have that ability, you're not going to control the cash flow, because it's in salaries and benefits.
We may have some expertise here at the Department of Management Services relative to the collective bargaining agreements that maybe we could augment the team that's looking at this. Patty, would you reach out to DMS and see if there's some resources that we can offer from the state level that might be able to augment these discussions and this analysis? Okay.
And I also may want to have John Hooker, CGU, in the governor's office work on these issues.
Okay. John Hooker, for those of you that might not have been able to hear, he works up in the general government unit of Office of Policy and Budget. He may be another resource for us to provide to the city to help with discussions and negotiations and looking at these contracts. This is an extremely important issue, and I recognize the weight of what you're saying, Mr. Olson, so thank you for your report.
I think also you would consider reaching out to PERC at the state level, the Public Employees Relations Commission, let them know that this is being discussed and have their input on, you know, what their just what their input would be, because this is a, you know, the collective bargaining law in the state of Florida is very strong, but I think that the governor's order gives the power to do what I'm asking for, but certainly it needs to be examined.
Absolutely.
PERC would be a good outfit to talk with right away.
Okay, perfect. We'll fold that into the recommendation, and then we'll add that as an agenda item, too, for our subsequent meetings, so that we can make sure we track that issue.
And that takes care of my report, unless there's some other questions that anybody has.
Okay. Any questions?
There's somebody from the audience is coming up to the
Can I ask who that is? If it's a member of the public, we need to wait. If it's a if it's a commission member, we need to hold off till the end so that
no,
we can.
No, it's public.
It's a member of the public. He represents one of our vendors with respect to Historic City Hall.
All right. Well, let's get through the official stuff, and then we'll have public input.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And Vice Chair Patterson, if you'll help me there when we get to that agenda item, since you're there, boots on the ground, to entertain comment. We'll get to that. We'll make sure that we have commentary for the public. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. All right, so legal services review. I believe that may be an item that we've not yet touched on that I think is still part of your assessment, Mr. Olson.
I would assume that's we're talking about the contracts dealing with the legal services to the city. Is that what this entails?
That is part of what it entails. So if you'll give your perspective as it relates to the contract review.
I can tell you, quite honestly, that's not an area that I have hit on at this point. I'll follow up on it for the next meeting.
Okay. There may be an opportunity for us to get some sort of peer review services. Frank, was when the City of Miami Oversight Board was in place, I believe that maybe the Florida Bar or some sort of peer review services might have been brought in relative to legal services assessment. Do you recall what that was?
Yes, they brought in quite a few firms from the private sector that looked at the Miami Herald was involved, Florida East Coast Railroad was involved. There were several banks that were involved that had positions on the board that brought reviews in to look at the operations of the city and to look at the operations of the different contracts that they had, as well as not just from the financial standpoint, but the scope of services and the deliverables that were being given to the city, whether they were appropriate or met the test of what we were paying for. We can look at that, and I'll discuss it with the committee and see, you know, what we think what direction we think we should go.
Okay. That would be great. Okay. Vice Chair Patterson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, and everybody else. It's very nice to be able to make this report to you, but it's going to be an extensive report once it's completed. When I say once it's completed, I'm still in the process of meeting with Chief Dobson. We met a couple of times, and he's given me some documents relating to his personnel, his staffing, his vehicles, his budget, and a few other things as well. So I'm not really in a position to make a recommendation, but I am, in fact, still gathering information to look at some of the sort of like deployment strategies and schedules and things of that nature. But I also know that he's being challenged as it relates to constantly losing personnel. So we met twice, and we're going to meet again probably next week as well to go over some of the things he's presented, as well as to talk about some of the things that Mr. Rollison just brought up about the PBA agreement as well, because we got to look at that as well. And relating to the Water and Sewer Department, the assessment there, I'm going to be meeting with the Opa-locka staff tomorrow and getting an overview from them as to what their processes and protocols are as it relates to billing. Because the county, I think back in earlier this year, was asked to come in and look at some of the billing challenges that they face, and they made a few recommendations. And I'm going to also meet with the county next week as well to talk about their report and sort of like work to bring both of them together and make some realistic recommendations as to what can be changed and made better. One of the large things I see that relates to the Water and Sewer Department was, I think, some billing issues. What I was told there was some parcels that don't have accounts associated with them. We may have to work through trying to get those accounts up and running and get some collections or revenue being brought in, because that's very important for us to make sure the city is getting its proper revenue from all the different customers they serve. So basically, both of my assessments are still ongoing.
Okay. It's my understanding from reviewing some of the documentation from when Opa-locka was in a state of financial emergency and had an oversight board in the past, or an oversight committee in the past. It's my understanding that we were able to reach out to Commissioner of FDLE and have them help with some sort of operational assessment of the police department. Would you mind reaching out to FDLE and determining what kind of assessment is available from their perspective?
Yes, I can do that, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And we'll appreciate a report on that at the next meeting as well.
Thank you.
Okay. We may have already covered some of the comments from Board Member Collins, but certainly want to take your report at this time if there's anything.
Just wanted to add that in addition to the Miami-Dade property appraisal being on the line today, that we'll coordinate presentations and work at the staff level to make sure that they're involved at every step of the budgeting process here.
Okay. Kim Mills, any follow-up?
On the auditing and finance expertise for the board, I reached out to some folks at the Department of Management Services in their purchasing unit. The initial response based on just a brief conversation was that they did not think that the board was required to follow the requirements of 287, but they were going to address it with their legal staff to make sure, and they will get back with me later.
Okay. I have received a couple of letters of interest. One was from Thomas Howell Ferguson. And I believe we've also received some reach out letter from Greenberg Torreg, but they're not accounting and finance expertise. They're more legal. See, we may have also had a letter from McFadden, who represents Ernst & Young, although I don't believe we received a letter of interest yet from Ernst & Young or a letter from Grant Thornton, but they have at least had conversations with us that they would like to express potential interest if there are some opportunities for services. Were you able to have any conversations with anyone about any pro bono services that might be available?
And that, I think, related to maybe helping to provide some financial support for the city. I did reach out to some of the folks over at SBA who at one point had acquired some services to assist them with their issues that they had several years ago, and I did get a copy of the RFQ just to kind of look at it, requested a copy of the contract, and they were actually going to go back and get it to, wait a minute, I'll get this right. They were going to go back and sign that out, but that's related to the other issue. I'm sorry, the pro bono work, I reached out to the FICPA,
okay.
Asked them, and I kind of sent an email to their contact on their website. Just kind of asking a little bit about, we were trying to determine what kind of entities might be available to provide for. So I asked them if they could please let me know how to go about determining what entities might be able to provide that, and I have not heard back. I sent that yesterday, so
okay.
I had not heard.
I just had a little bit of a maybe crazy thought, but, you know, in the governor's office, we hand out internships, and they're a really good mm-hmm. way to get to know. So I was wondering if we should somehow advertise, ask for people who sit for their CPAs or master's degree in accounting down in Miami-Dade at the University of Miami, Miami-Dade colleges or something like that, whether that is, you know, it's when I always hear about Ms. Parchman's situation, it's just, it seems to be really dire, and so, you know, somebody who may just want to have some hands-on experience may be willing to do so.
That was another suggestion that had come up, was maybe reaching out to one of the universities in the area, which would be good for just some hands-on work, but if she's needing someone with the local government expertise,
sure.
then that might be a different route. But it just kind of depends. Sometimes they have programs where you're looking at local government-type processes, and that's what your expertise is going to be in. So that is another area that we will reach out to, maybe the accounting school at some of the universities down there to see if they have some students willing to get some community service hours helping out where they can. Thank you.
Thank you. Angela, state revolving loan update. I know that was one of the questions posed at the last meeting. Do you have any information for us?
I do. Honest Montgomery, who is the project manager with the Department of Environmental Protection, who oversees the state revolving fund projects that are ongoing, provided me with an update on the projects that we currently have and the status. And I know that Intercounty, who is one of the contractors on the project, has provided the city with a notice of work stop. And the city is currently behind on several invoices that Intercounty Engineering, Inc. has provided to the city for services that they have performed in relation to the contracts that they have. on Cairo Lane and Northwest 127th Street roadway improvements. And so I was hoping to maybe get an update from the city on the status of those payments.
We received the payments for Intercounty on the Cairo Lane project. Sorry. I'm Aria Austin, Project Manager, Acting Director for CIP. We got the payments 11 and 12 yesterday that were finally delivered in the condition that we were going to accept them for payment. We're now going to process them for payment to move the project forward. But to date, process them for approval for payment. To date, they're paid up to current status, but the payment was made 2 days after the deadline to demobilize, so they took the opportunity and demobilized 50%.
Okay, I'm a little unclear as to what you just said as it relates to, were payments made, and who were payments made to?
Payments were made to Intercounty Construction. Engineering, sorry. But the payments were made on a Monday. They issued a letter to demobilize, deadline on Friday. So since this was their third stop work notice, they took the opportunity to demobilize until clarity was given to them continuing. They needed some assurance from the state that payments were going to be made in a more timely manner.
So, Frank, were payments for intercounty engineering something that you've reviewed at this point or received?
Yes, they have been reviewed, and
I'm sorry, we were having a conversation. The payments were just, the invoices were just received. Those invoices are now being placed into SunGuard, and then they're being forwarded to the contract review committee as well.
Okay.
So they'll be in the next batch of what we have to look at?
Yes.
Okay.
So just for clarification, I understand. And this is Vernita, that payment 10 was made. It was made 2 days late. Mobilization occurred. You actually have payment 11 and 12 that needed to be fine-tuned before you signed off on it. You've signed off on it, and those are the things that will be, 11 and 12 will be coming to the Contract Review Committee for consideration.
Correct.
Okay. Just for clarification, it's been, the city was notified by Intercounty that the payment itself is not as much of an issue as the ongoing payments. They're interested in getting an assurance, and I'm not sure in what form, from the oversight board in terms of the fact that their payments will be made and made, I guess, right now we're running a net 60. They're trying to get paid in 30 days.
The cash flow analysis of some kind before we start assuring that somebody's going to be paid.
I completely agree. That assurance was going to come from you all. So.
Okay, I understand.
And the fact that they've demobilized.
It's my understanding that the DEP Inspector General is conducting an audit of whether or not the state revolving loan deliverables have in fact been received. So until such time that we know whether or not we got, that the city got what it paid for, it seems like reauthorization of any future projects, if that's on hold or pending review, that we need some more information before any decision or commitment can be made.
I would assume there are draws being submitted for payment, correct? Who's signing off on those draws? Who's looking at the work to see that the draws match up with the percentage of work that they are claiming to be paid for?
project managers and the city engineer during this time.
Okay. And those documents are available for us to look at, too, I'm assuming.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
This is Angela. I have a point of clarification. This project is currently funded through the State Revolving Fund. It is a reimbursement type project, and so one of the, you know, stipulations of the agreement that we have with the city is that they will provide us with documentation that Davis Bacon and American Iron and Steel requirements are being met. We have requested that documentation from the city and has not been provided yet. So we are holding up reimbursement on some invoices until we get that documentation.
Right. I'm assuming that's part of the contract where those are standard, and that we see that through the contracts and payroll that those rates are being paid and the goods are being bought.
Right. And along with that, Davis Bacon, we also require that the people who are doing the work on the job site are interviewed and that those records are also maintained at the city level, and that the city certifies that those payrolls are being made in accordance with those wage rates.
Understood.
Just as a point of note, my understanding, well, there may have been a disconnect in terms of the provision of the documents or the information requested. I'll be sure that whatever information was previously forwarded will be forwarded again, and we will confirm the receipt this time.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, I have one question for you. If DEP, so the constructor or the project, the what is it called?
Intercounty
is looking for some assurance from the board for 30 days. Is that what you're saying?
What they asked for was more prompt payment. It wasn't specific.
Oh, okay. Because what is the turnaround from DEP per agreement?
That's one of the concerns. We would
until they're satisfied.
Until we get the documentation that we've requested, we will not forward any request for reimbursement for payment.
No, I totally understand that. But typically, what is the turnaround time once you get satisfactory documents? Is there agreement between Opa-locka that it'll be paid in 30 days, 60 days? I'm just trying to.
Typically, we would receive the reimbursement 30 to 45 days
okay.
after the submission.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I believe that brings us to the end of our agenda. Before we close and identify and assign tasks or take up any other items and go to public comment, because we still have several issues. I am curious, could we get an update from Ms. Harrell about the notice received from the Security and Exchange Commission?
I apologize, Ms. McGill. Are you talking about the notice that was received a few weeks ago from the SEC?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. We received a notice from the SEC basically asking for information with respect to the bonds. There had been a question as to the financing, the documents, et cetera, and they were investigating to find out exactly what I believe to confirm whatever the validity, if you will, of the bonds. That went directly to Mr. Brown, who actually is no longer here, but my understanding is as of last week, they'd received all the documents that they needed, and they were going to provide us with a report and or a decision in terms of their investigation within the next 30 days.
Okay. Would you make that available to us as soon as it's available to you?
Absolutely. I just as a point of note as well, In communication with the SEC, it's one of the questions was whether or not the 2015 bonds acted more as a mortgage, because that was the primary focus. After having reviewed the documents, they presented a preliminary opinion that it was actually more of a mortgage. It's just that as it's governmental, it had to be issued through bonds. And so the expectation is that there will be no further investigation in terms of whether or not it was properly done, simply because it was more of a mortgage and not necessarily something that would be subject to SEC rule.
Has the city received any other notice in writing of any ongoing investigations, evaluations, regulatory action that's relevant to this conversation?
Not with respect to the bonds, no ma'am. We did receive, and I think you just alluded to it, and just so the entire board is aware, we did receive notice from Ms. Candace Fuller of the audit that's being done with respect to the state revolving. That just actually came through yesterday. She's asked us for several statements. We've advised that we'll provide those statements within a week, and she said that that was an acceptable time frame. But outside of that, there's been no other formal notices with respect to anything, with the exception of several lawsuits filed against the city.
Okay. Let's see, $200 discretionary account or discretionary accounts of any dollar amount. Who has those?
Who receives them?
Mm-hmm.
The commission, the members of the commission, the mayor and the commission.
Okay. And what are there limits to those funds and how they can be spent?
No, they're at the discretion of the recipient.
Of any kind, no restrictions?
There are no restrictions.
Okay. Not okay. I heard you.
I understand what okay means.
Okay.
I know you're agreeing with what I said.
I'm going to throw it out there for the board to entertain discussion. I'm not aware of unrestricted expenditure authority on government fronts that are unchecked without accountability. What benchmarks can we compare to for, say, the City of Miami Gardens or North Bay Village or the City of Miami? What are some of your perspectives relative to this type of arrangement? Can you offer me some guidance on this?
This is Frank. We don't have any such account like that in North Bay Village. The City of Miami does have a similar account for elected officials. That's a discretionary account on their part. It's a considerably larger amount. They can spend it how they desire to expend it in the course of their duties as a commissioner or, you know, an elected official. But they have to account for it. All the expenditures are either by receipt or report or whatever, so that they know where the money went. And generally, the checks are cut through the finance department, so there's backup. So if you want to sponsor a barbecue, neighborhood barbecue or something, then you submit in and a check is cut to whoever the vendors are. So there's a paper trail on where the money goes. And I also point out there are no credit cards. I don't know if there's credit cards here with any elected officials, but none of our elected officials have credit cards.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking whether there are credit cards for the elected officials. They have since been handed in the past week, they've been handed in.
Okay.
And it's been directed that all uses must be approved first by the board before actually occurring.
Okay. The $200 cap, I assume, is that a hard and fast cap for the discretionary account?
Yes, ma'am. Well, let me clarify. It's not an account. It's actually a payment that's presented to each member of the commission and the mayor on a monthly basis. It is something that is described in the charter, and the charter has specific requirements in terms of what the monies can be used for and what backup documentation needs to be provided once those monies are expended.
So is there a paper trail for how this $200 is spent?
No, ma'am.
Is that consistent with charter?
No, ma'am.
Okay, well, every dollar at any level spent by government. Can you still hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Every dollar at any level that's spent by government is spent on the backs of its citizens. And every dollar should go for services, salaries, new jobs, and not wasted. Do I have anyone that's willing to entertain a motion to discontinue the $200 discretionary accounts for the elected officials until such time that a financial emergency is resolved?
This is Kim. So moved.
Seconded
by?
Marie.
Okay. Any comment before the vote by the board members? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Okay. Let me attempt to try to recap where we are just to make sure that I've considered everything, and maybe I'll do that after public comment.
And Ms. Melinda, this is Vernita. Before you get off of that, I just wanted to make sure that none of the charter officers have discretionary funds either.
Good point.
No other pots of discretionary funds that are with charter officers or?
No, the $200 discretionary funds are only for the mayor and the commissioner.
Okay, thank you.
And by our vote, the effective date is effective with an effective date of today.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And thank you for the question, Ms. Nelson. I would like to recognize our vice chair for entertaining public comment at this point while I listen. I'm going to also make sure that before we close, I go back and do a recap and a wrap-up. So, Mr. Vice Chair.
Actually, before you do that again, I have another question. I'm sorry, this is Vernita again. Ms. Parchment, Ms. Harrell, are there any funds within the department, police, Parks and Recreation, Public Works, that is for use by the commissioners for events or?
There are
commission-sponsored events.
There are funds that are budgeted for commission-sponsored events. However, as of now, there are no other events that will take place this fiscal year. That will require.
So every child has the opportunity to succeed in their classrooms and future careers.
Thank you for calling the governor's office. Someone will be with you soon.
This year, I signed our key Florida working budget that returned money back to hard-working families, increased funding for education, and created more opportunities for families. The entire nation is taking notice of the progress Florida's economy has made for the last 3 years. The nation's top CEOs Greater Florida, the second best state in the country to do business.
We're experiencing
no personal income tax. Job creation is on and Florida is on pace for another record year of tourism.
Come on, we'll be right back.
December 2010, Florida businesses have created over 1 million private sector jobs, and our unemployment rate continues to drop. We still have a lot more work to do, but it is clear we are headed in the right direction.
Thank you for calling the governor's office. Someone will be with you shortly.
Hi, I'm Governor Rick Scott. My focus is on creating jobs and opportunities for Florida's families. To do this, we need to make sure Florida's private sector continues to grow and our kids can get a great education. That is why we have taken steps to continue the progress we have made since 2010 by focusing on education. Since December 2010, Florida business...
Looks like we're clear.
It's still a city.
Can you hear me? Opelika. Hello.
Like before, I thought it was the Sam's Club situation.
Hello? Hello?
Ms. McGill, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
For some reason, we experienced a technical difficulty with a hold message, so we're now going to go ahead and open the floor for public comment. If
you
come forth and identify yourself, make a comment, be as brief as possible, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and the respected board. My name is Naeem Yudin. I am the contractor. Company name is Grace and Naeem Yudin, Inc., working on the restoration of the old City Hall. My question is, this project, was funded by the grants from Miami-Dade County as well as the Florida Preservation Board. We currently have an outstanding balance of in excess of $524,000. I believe a letter was sent to Ms. last week. I would like to know as to what is the board's plan or what do they see as to when can we get paid, although it is not addressed in any general funding list that you all approved a while ago today, since I believe that project was funded through a grant, but I'm just trying to understand where do I fall in this whole scheme of things.
Well, we appreciate your comment, but there's a process that we're trying to go through that relates to organizing the priorities of the spending for the city. And we're not sure where you line up in that priority, but if you just sent a letter, we'll give us time to review that letter and to look into whatever is in that letter and respond appropriately.
I mean, is this a reimbursable grant or what is this?
It is. We have to outlay the money first out of general fund and then we receive the reimbursement minus whatever the retainage is.
And so he has submitted a draw or he submitted invoices? What has he done?
He submitted multiple draws.
Have any of them been approved?
They've been approved, but one of them has been paid. We're still waiting for funding to proceed with the others.
To be reimbursed?
No, to fund it and then it goes for reimbursement.
No, but I'm saying on the first one that you paid one. Have you been reimbursed?
Yes.
Are there any Davis-Bacon issues with this? Are we dealing with this as a county
a
grant?
This is a county-funded and a state-funded project.
So, I mean, if his documents are in order and the draws are correct, and is there some reason that he wouldn't be paid?
The issue
is it cash flow?
It's the cash flow. The
cash flow, okay.
I
understand.
And again, we were talking 45 days before we would receive the money. So the initial outlay is the issue as opposed to anything else. And as I've explained, in terms of priority as far as the city's functionalities, its service for the residents, our employees, and then unfortunately in terms of it, of a restoration of historic City Hall, while that is absolutely a project that we're interested in terms of the city's priorities, unfortunately payroll came before that payment.
All right, sir, are you still mobilized? Are you still working?
I heard Mr. Ari Austin say that one has been paid. I'm not aware of which one he's referring to. Okay, in the letter that we are currently outstanding in the amount that I've stated does not include that one.
I understand. It's outstanding.
It's outstanding.
I got it.
Okay. And
they'll be presenting these to me, to the, our committee, and we'll look at them, and we'll see what we can do to get you paid.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Any other public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. My name is John Riley. I have been servant in the city of Opa-locka for over 40 years in various capacities. Most of those capacities has been as volunteer. The perception that the, since I've been on the commission, I think this is my third week, that somehow I would be taking advantage of our community. I hope that perception is not what it is, because I'm a public servant, and I take that literally. And I'm here to serve. I brought some things to your attention, and I'm glad that they were addressed, and that was its revolving fund, and that was the state and county funding over at the building. But what has not been addressed that I mentioned at the last meeting was the water meters in our water sewer account. I would hate to end up with refunds or having credits because people be able to prove that the reading and the usage of their water is incorrect. There are a number of meters that need to be replaced. There are some who need to be installed, and it needs to be funded. It needs to be done. So as we move forward, we would have a correct accounting of what the usage is. And the usage should not be greater than what we're actually receiving from the county. The other part is the seepage in our lines. Even though it is being metered from the county coming into the city, but the amount of coming into the city to be paid for is not being paid for by the users because there are seepage in the line. And still, that has to be paid. On the sewer side, you have a problem with the line where you have infiltration from when there's rain in the other areas, but that water still is going through that line into the pumps for Dade County or Hialeah, and it still has to be paid. Those are revenues are going out. The reason I said that there was a priority that we need with our roadway and our infrastructure, because we do have several lawsuits with damages that has occurred to people who travel our roads. I was fortunate enough to show one of your members, I had hoped that the board would have had an opportunity to review what we are facing, but that did not occur. But I would hope that you would address and identify those tasks that deals with our water and sewer for, beyond what has the scope that you're doing already. Previously, we had had fundings with the commission. There's a number of things that have been done today that was not done during my time. But I do know what we are entitled to, and I know what has been judged by this commission versus what has gone on in other cities. But I also know what's gone on in other cities those cities are not facing what we're facing here in Opa-locka. But the appearance at time and the perception can be disparaging or give the sense that we're doing that I, which is included, am doing something wrong, and I would hope that would not be the case, because we are making the public record, and when you blanket say the officials or elected officials, you include me, and I'm not saying that you should not, but the way it is perceived and how it's being perceived by me, I take issues with that. Normally, when we get a stipend, that is to cover gas or cover travel or to cover meals or meeting with potential developers or people within that's coming into our community, and that you're limited to that stipend of $200 to do all of those things, whatever you want to do. That includes the ride around your city. So if they need an accountability for that, it's usually written up and said what it is that you've done with that, and that was what it was designed to do. With that, Mr. Vice Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Allen.
Good afternoon to the Vice Chair and the committee. My name is Stephen Barrett. I'm a citizen in this community. We really appreciate the good job that you're doing in our community, because we do need help. A couple of things are, when we looked at the lease cars, and they say that they have a key to use the gas at public work. Now, some commissioners have someone to go fill their cars up. I don't know if they're using their key or the city key. Now, if they have a key, someone still can go fill those cars up. You know, so I want you to think about how you will control them, that someone else go fill those cars up. But, you know, they don't have to use their key if they turn their key in. Another part is that in the city we have we think that in the police department, before we have the chief we have now, they had SUVs as well. But when they start complaining about the finance of the city, they downsized to smaller vehicles with the leasing company, because the cars that they were leasing, being on the financial task force, I have copies of the payments. Those cars were $825 per month. But how were they able to downsize and get smaller cars? And maybe doing it that way, they saved the city some money. Now, the new chief, as of last week, it was brought to my attention that they have downsized on their cars. Because when he came in as a new chief, they leased two brand new SUVs. Now they back, you know, the chief, the deputy chief, and some of the other administrators. Now they are downsized to smaller cars. So something to think about is that if we can't change the contract, can we downsize the smaller cars and less payment? Because the police department has used that in the last 2 years. The Finance Task Force, back in June 16th, 2015, we gave them a report that the mayor put together this task force and asked for a recommendation from some of the ones that were on the committee. There were several of us. And we had the finance director from Miami Lakes. We had an auditor And we also had Mr. Roosevelt Bradley, former Miami-Dade County Transportation Director. But there was a whole lot of recommendation back then that we could have been on our way to helping our city. We gave the report, and they had a resolution they voted on. But there was no action really in the daily operation taken. So we want you to check everything in the city, get the backup paperwork, the backup, anything they say. Because today we heard more about this city than the information been given to the citizens in the last 10 years. You brought out information that we wasn't even aware of. And I tell you, this is some of the greatest meeting that the citizens have had in the city in the last 10 years. Because you pulling out information that we would never let us know this type of information going on in the city. We would never know. So we thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Vice Mayor Holmes, I apologize for coming in this time of day, but I'm that time of day person. I have a lot to say, and I heard I missed a lot of things this morning for the day. And you know, somebody from my colleagues should have got up and spoke on behalf of us. You know, one thing about this city now, the reason why the commission, the mayor, and everybody on this dais now, do some of the things they do, it's because they don't get any salary. If you don't have a good job, you don't have money in the bank, why should you get involved in the politics of Oklahoma? I tell you why I got involved, and I told you all a while back. When I first got elected, I was told that they wouldn't bother my Social Security disability. But then after I got elected, I found out that did cut it. But I had a wife who worked for the federal government making good money. We talked about it. So I decided to give it a try anyway. And I've been here 22 years working hard for this city, trying to make this city a better place than what it is. There's so many things I have done in this community. I don't even want to start talking about it because you might not want to hear all of it. But if you do, let me know, and I'll be more than glad to talk to you one-on-one, on the phone, whatever, to tell you what needs to be done. But when you're taking everything from the mayor and the commission on the dais, you might as well say, close down Opa-locka. Because these people that don't have any money, and they take these jobs, this commission job, and they think that they're here to make money from this. As I tell them all, I say, this is not a job that you make money from. I don't know if you know that. It's a job, you try that stuff, you go to jail. I said, but you don't get out here and try to solicit money from these business people, this and that. And that's where a lot of commissioners and mayors stuff have a problem, run into problems, because they try to do things that they shouldn't be doing. But I've been blessed over the years. You know, like I said, I've been blessed. My wife, she passed away in 2006 years ago. When she passed away, she left me pretty well in good shape. So I thank God for that. I thank her for that because she knew all about Opa-locka and what I wanted to see and what I wanted to do in Opa-locka to make Opa-locka a great place, a great city. And Lord knows, that's all I've been trying to do since I've been here. I don't try to talk down, put down my city. I don't try to make my city look bad out in the community. If I found other people talking about it, and especially people who've been involved in Opa-locka before, who know about the parts of Opa-locka, and they get up and say things about Opa-locka, I look at them, I say, how could this person do and say these things, and they was there themselves for a few years? I've been here, just Bob Ingham was mayor. Some of y'all probably know Bob Ingram. I've been here since Bob Ingram was mayor. And I came through a lot of, every time I get it, all right. But anyway, since I've been here, so many of my colleagues have passed away. It's gone. But for some reason, my God above kept me here, give me the strength to do what I've been trying to do in this community all these years. And I'm very proud of that. Sure, I have had people to come to me and try to offer me things, this and that. I said, no, I don't play those type of games. I said, now, if you want to go to jail, get up. You'll go to jail. I don't play these type of games. And that's what kept me on the right side of the track all these years. And I'm going to continue to stay on the right side of the track. You know, I heard y'all take away my $200 today. The $200 that the city gave me, that's what I clean my clothes with every month. My clothes bill around $200 better every month, okay? So $500 we get, I would say, not $500, but, you know, yeah, I got to put income taxes out of that. I wound up paying $1,400 a year and getting $2 from the city. But that's all right. I'm not kicking about that. All I'm saying, think about the city. Think about the way the government is set up here when you do some of these things. Think about it. I'm hoping that some of these people to go ahead and resign and quit, move on. That's the best way I see that the city should move forward. All right, I'm going to cut now because I want to say a lot more. But I see y'all been here so long, you might be ready to go, you might be hungry. But it's so much, there's so much I would like to say. When you've been in the place for 22 years plus, you know the inside, the outside, and the backside, the front side. You know the people. I know them all. I know the good, bad, and the ugly. Okay? Thank you very much for giving me this few minutes to talk. But give me my $200 back. I got to keep my clothes clean. I got to keep them clean. I don't want to walk around half dirty now and smelling, but I'll leave that to y'all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Any other public comments? If not, we're going to have Melinda, if you would wrap up and prepare to close.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to attempt to cover some of the highlights of what we've covered today. Obviously, I may miss a few items, and I'll ask Heather Stearns and Patty Nelson to follow up with the folks appropriately relative to the assignments and tasks that have come out of today's meeting. I just want to reflect back on the fact that Patty Nelson has been provided to us from the Office of Policy and Budget as Special Advisor on Tax and Revenue, or Revenue and Tax. And so really appreciate the opportunity to work with Patty and for her to help keep us on track relative to the deliverables that we owe to the governor on this particular financial emergency board. So really appreciate you joining the team. There's several things that we want to try to recap for discussion. I know, Ms. Harrell, we gave you a laundry list of things to do as well in regards to the fleet vehicles, the audit progress, some of the revised like cash flow number projection based upon the numbers that were paid today, some water and sewer information, some information with the state revolving loan, a whole host of issues that I kind of am getting a little overwhelmed by myself as we go through the list. So I think what we'll do is go ahead and have Heather and Patty reach out to the individuals to make sure that we've got a clear understanding on the deliverables that we're expecting and a report back on the next meeting to make sure that we don't miss anything. Really appreciate the opportunity to work with the city. I understand there's a city commission meeting tonight, and we've asked that anything with regards to financial impact will be subject to review and approval by this body. So we look forward to receiving the outcomes of tonight's meeting and in the event that we need to call an emergency meeting to address anything coming out of tonight's meeting, we're prepared to do so, but otherwise we're going to meet on the 28th. Mr. Ellison, are you and your contract review committee going to continue to meet before the 28th? And same with Mr. Weiss. Are your committees going to meet between now and then?
My intent is to, this is Frank, my intent is to, next week I'm out of town, but by next Friday they're going to have the cash flow taken care of, right? That's the plan?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking across the dumpsters.
I'm sorry, yep. Yes, Frank.
But, okay, so then I would look to get with staff at the beginning of the following week, and then between now and then I'll get with your office about setting up a committee meeting. Perhaps, I mean, the meeting that we're going to have on the 28th will be at 10 o'clock in the morning, I would assume. Is that the plan?
That's correct.
So then I would try to get something together with our committee that week before that meeting so that we can review the invoices, and maybe we can shorten the review of those with the full board in some way. Once the committee makes a decision, I'll let the board decide on that. But yes, I would like to meet with our committee that week of the 28th. So what is that? What's that Monday?
That Monday's the 25th.
25th?
Yes, sir.
So then I will try to get with, I don't know, I got to work something out and see, but I do want to get our committee together before we have the meeting on the 28th so we can go over whatever is outstanding.
Okay.
To be ready for the board.
Okay. I'll look forward to meeting with everybody. Just to recap, too, the direction of a ship starts from the helm. And you can either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. And this is a perfect opportunity to come together as a community and work together. And so I believe that we will make it through some of these challenges that are facing the city of Opa-locka. We'll continue to make some drastic cuts. We'll be counting on members of the public, members of the commission, and members of staff to make suggestions for areas to make further cuts to cost and to attempt to bring this community together. We want to bring the vendors into the discussion and ask employees for their input. It's time for all hands on deck. It's not the time for raises. It's not the time for excess. It's time for great scrutiny over every dollar that is being spent by the city of Opa-locka. We will continue to provide that oversight through this board. Look forward to working with everyone in the city of Opa-locka. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for your participation on today's call. We are adjourned.